This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, June 2nd, 2017. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, the U.S. pulls out of the Paris Climate Agreement while Labour calls for a just transition to greener economies. Hundreds of unionists are headed to Geneva for the annual conference of the United Nations International Labour Organization. And the Labour Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labour. In the United States, President Donald Trump has indicated that he will follow through on his campaign promise to withdraw the U.S. from the Paris Agreement on climate change. During his 2016 presidential campaign, Mr. Trump called human-induced climate change a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese government. The Paris Agreement is an accord which 195 countries, almost all of the nations of the world, signed in 2015. It is the first legally binding global pact to fight climate change. It binds countries to self-police reductions in their carbon emissions so that the world can hold the increase in global average temperature to under 2 degrees centigrade above pre-industrial levels. The U.S. signed the Paris Agreement with a promise to reduce its emissions by 26% by 2025. When the U.S. pulls out of the agreement, it will join the only two countries who have not signed the pact: Syria, a failed state in the midst of a civil war, and Nicaragua, which refused to sign because it said the agreement didn't go far enough. The international labor movement welcomed the Paris Agreement when it was signed, but wants a just transition for workers as the world moves to greener, more sustainable economies. Sharon Burrow is the General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the world body which represents national union centers such as the Ghana Trades Union Congress and the AFL-CIO in the United States. She was interviewed by Eduardo Gonzalez of Climate TV.
There are no jobs on a dead planet. This is much more than a slogan for us. We're already seeing the loss of lives and livelihoods with extreme weather events. And indeed, you know, workers are on the front lines of climate change, the negative impact, but also as we make the transition, the energy transition, the change in the nature of the use of technologies, the zero carbon, zero poverty ambitions for the future, then the opportunities mean workers are on the front lines again with their communities. So for us, it's core business. Climate change is an imperative. We can't continue to live in a world where inequality and poverty are becoming entrenched as systemic outcomes of a model of business that is failing us. So zero carbon, zero poverty, the opportunities are clear, but of course the challenges are also significant, and we want to be part of that design mix.
As we move from a high carbon economy and fossil fuel industries and so on to a low carbon economy, there's obviously a form of transition there and redeployment of jobs. How would you say that that's best managed?
I'm very frightened that we've already lost an orderly exit from coal. So our core demand for coal miners is that they're given the security of the time frame in which they can be assured they'll have jobs, that their pensions are secured, and that they're looked after in terms of redeployment, and that there's money into their communities for renewal. But for other fossil fuel companies, for energy companies, they face a choice. They can actually set themselves up for the transition. They can have a plan that has 2020, 2030, 2050 targets to get to that zero carbon future. And as they transition to renewables and reduce their dependence on fossil fuels, then they actually got a natural capacity to transition their workforce.
How, in your view, is the trade union movement globally embracing or addressing the climate change challenge?
Where there's dialogue and an understood plan and people can see themselves and their children as part of the future, then it's possible to affect what we call a just transition. The big problem is that governments have been too slow. Many employers have been too slow. Industry sectors have simply not considered an alternative future. So they've thrown money and time into lobbying governments not to change, to maintain the status quo, the only way we're going to make this transition, if it's based on dialogue, if all the stakeholders are part of the mix, and if it's a just transition where everybody can see a future.
The International Conference of the United Nations International Labour Organization starts next week. C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
Hundreds of unionists around the world are preparing to leave for the 106th Conference of the International Labour Organization in Geneva. The ILO is the UN agency focused on matters of work in the world. The conference will be held June 5th to 16th. The ILO is seen by the international labor movement as a crucial instrument for building global support for workers, because it is one of the few global bodies where unionists help govern the organization. The organization functions as a tripartite body with representatives from governments, employer groups, and labor unions. The director general of the organization is Guy Ryder, the first unionist to lead the organization in its 98-year history. One of the major activities of the ILO is to establish minimum standards for work-related issues such as maternity leave in proposed legislation called conventions. If adopted by a nation, a convention becomes part of the country's legal structure. The first week of the conference is focused on committees preparing policy drafts, which will be considered by the full conference of 4,000 delegates. One of the most important committees is the Committee on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work. Beate Andries heads the ILO department, which supports work on the issue.
The Committee on Fundamental Principles and Rights at Work will discuss trends and challenges as well as opportunities with regards to the elimination of child labour, forced labour, discrimination at work, and the promotion of freedom of association and collective bargaining.
The theme of the ILO conference this year is the future of work, including the role of labour unions in helping to build decent work into that future. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labour.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the average of 300 news stories added to our site each day last week. Our top stories section included links to news about the strike by 175,000 Canadian construction workers and the subsequent back-to-work law imposed on them, the arrest of a labor rights activist in China, and of course the reaction of unions around the world to the withdrawal of the United States from the Paris Climate Accord. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Customs workers ended a five-day pension and benefits strike in Chile with a victory. Drivers parked their buses in Bangladesh to demand safer working conditions after one of their comrades was beaten to death. A government decision to return to the bargaining table resulted in the suspension of the nurses' strike in Zimbabwe, while a months-long lockout at an aerospace manufacturer in the same country continued. Solid waste workers in South Africa ended their five-day-long strike when their employer agreed to negotiations over their workplace complaints. Jamaican petrol station workers walked out after a colleague was sacked, and in Nigeria, while the fuel marketers' strike ended as negotiations resumed, public sector workers of all kinds were walking off the job to protest wage theft as municipalities, health authorities, and universities failed to pay their employees. Our top working women's stories included coverage of the solidarity work being done by Iranian women trade unionists to support an imprisoned teachers' union leader, the union campaign against gender-based violence in Namibia, and the push to recruit women to the construction trades by unions in the United States. The Health and Safety Newswire we run in cooperation with Hazards Magazine carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the changes made to public transit in Canada after the murder of a bus driver, how asbestos is imported into Australia despite laws banning it, and workplace violence in care homes in Trinidad and Tobago. Currently, Labour Start is running 6 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from Labour Start, reporting for Radio Labour.
And that's it. International labour news you can use. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Labour. I'm Mark Belanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.